Man, that was right. These girls were right. I had about 20 takes trying to get that little thing done. And I was so over it, I'd lost my salvation half a dozen times to get that right. They're all laughing and being silly, and they're trying to get me to be serious. So how could I? And then they're saying, don't read it. Shelley goes, Jack, don't read it. You sound like you're reading from a book. So then I tried not to read it, and I started to ad-lib all over the place. What a blooming disaster. But anyway, it sounded winning, though, eh, fellas? So just in case you missed it, we are looking for 5 sponsors for 5 more awesome Wazazi children. And you know, with that, you'll get a, just like you do with World Vision, you'll get a little picture of the child and you'll get a little bit of a spiel on what that child is doing. And you know, we've got kids now that are actually in university, believe it or not. And they're doing incredibly well. It's like a child that has had no hope in its life, and all of a sudden you give them hope. And they will not miss it. They grab it and they go on, and they've done so well in their school. Their grades are the fallout rate is just incredibly low, because I believe these kids have seen an opportunity that's come their way, and they're not going to let it go. They hold on to it. So I can assure you that your money is well spent. $15 a month is nothing to see a child get a great education, amen? And go on and change their world, really, is what they're doing. Some of these kids, I'm just going to share for 1 second. One of the oldest children is now a doctor, qualified doctor, and qualified with such a high level of degree that he could have gone anywhere in the world to practice. But he decided to stay in his own country, and so that he can be minister. He sees it as an opportunity to be able to minister to less fortunate kids just like himself. Isn't it exciting? Yeah. And so your money is going to be very, very well spent. So 5 more kids. Just in behind the missions thing there, you'll see Sari sitting there afterwards, or somebody will be there and would love to register you to have one of these kids. Amen.
That's a promo now.
That's a promo. Yeah, that's how I should have done it. You know, each week I leave here, and we try to have Monday off. Well, the church building has really taken a bit of my time, and I've actually just finished my last job yesterday. Did the plumbing up of a few little things, and then Robbie's boys came in at no charge and fixed up the whole thing, carted away the concrete. You know, nobody's laughing, but only Robbie. At no charge, and fixed it all up, and I woke up and I thought, I'm finished. There's nothing more for me to do down here. Like, I'll have to be a full-time pastor now, guys, so you may get more of my time. But you know, as I go about the week and I'm thinking about things, I'm always thinking, Lord, have I finished where you're wanting to take the church? Or do I start something new? Do I start a new topic? Do I start to go off in another direction? Or is it finished? And I felt I wanted to go a certain way. I wanted to start speaking on something new. But I really felt the Lord say, you haven't finished yet. You've got one more message included in this. And so I've enjoyed this series. You know, I've called it a series, but you know, if not me, then who? Remember the song? You know, when we see injustices in the world, if we don't go out, amen, if we the redeemed don't go out and to reach the needy, then who will? Amen. Amen? If we the redeemed don't have a heart to go out and reach the needy, then who will do it? Isn't that a good question? So it's a question that I go home every week and I ask myself that. If not me, then who will do it? And so my hope is that you will go home and challenge yourselves too. I would hate to miss one Sunday where you don't leave here feeling challenged. I don't want anybody to ever feel condemned, but that is a very, very fine line between condemnation and conviction. That's right. And it's really where your heart is, I believe. If you leave here feeling condemned, well, then I think that maybe that person needs to take some time out and see really where their heart is. Because I believe when I leave here, I am always challenged and always convicted to go that little bit further for God. Amen. I want to be that little bit better each week. And so the next thing that we spoke about was Any Old Jar Will Do. We've changed that title. I think that's a better title. You know, the exciting thing about it is that God doesn't care whether you're a somebody or a nobody. All he's looking for is somebody or anybody who will say, here I am, use me. And because, you see, it's not about who you are or how awesome you are or how you're made up. It's about this incredible gift or this incredible anointing or this incredible oil that God fills the jar with. Amen? And that's what makes us awesome. That's what makes us awesome, to do awesome things for God. So then last week I spoke about, you know, you will be my witnesses. And you know that we're to look for every opportunity to just tell what we know about. Amen? To just share what we know about, what we've heard, what God has done in our life. Nothing more, nothing less. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just share what you know. And you'll never go wrong. And so each week, you know, I go home and as I'm working and as I'm doing things around the land or I'm with Sari or I'm reading the Bible, the thoughts that come to my mind is this: am I actually practicing what I preach?
Come on,
am I practicing what I'm actually asking you guys to do? Do I actually do it? Because you see this, let me say, just because I'm a pastor and what I do here on a Sunday and what I do throughout the week doesn't exemplify me from being a witness to God. Pastoring is just my job, just like, you know, Jay's job's building and Sam's building and you know, just like any other one of your guys' jobs, pastoring is my job. So it doesn't exemplify me from being a witness or going the extra mile. So this is what I've called today's word, going the extra mile. Am I prepared to go the extra mile each week? So I want to challenge you today. Are you prepared to go the extra mile each week? You see, I think that this, when the scripture we used last week was in Acts 1:8. And you know, when Jesus told the disciples to go out and to be, they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth, they must have been overwhelmed. These boys would only get to where they were going, either on foot or on a donkey. And then, so Jesus says, in Jerusalem, yeah, we could do that. It's in our local area. It's right in our neighborhood. Or Judea, just a little bit outside. Samaria, they probably weren't too keen about, as we'll find out later. And to the ends of the earth? Well, where was the end of their earth? See, you know, sometimes we think our little world or our earth is just in this tiny little area that we work at. Well, I say start there. Don't be afraid to start in your area and don't get overwhelmed. I believe the disciples were probably overwhelmed when Jesus said, go out to the ends of the earth. And so, you know, they needed something more. They needed, just like we do, just like we need the Holy Spirit that'll stop us from being overwhelmed. Amen. Because, you know, when we can do, like I say, we can be awesome when we're filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry about, can I do this? Can I do that? Is it too big? Is it not? If God says you can do it, he gives you the ability to do it. When God puts somebody on your heart, he will give you the ability to reach that person no matter what. There is no boundary. There is no place that we shouldn't be willing to go to reach somebody that Jesus has put on our heart. So, you know, that's our job description, as I said last week. So, you know, I got to thinking about this, you know, for this to happen, for me personally to be that person, you know, what would cause me to go the extra mile? What would cause me? See, I have no issues. I have no problem. Let me put it this way. What causes me to wake up at 2 a.m. and pray for my children? And I know that there are some of you here that know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Some of you guys that have got some teenagers or older. What causes you to wake up in the morning and to not think, oh, flag this, I'm just too tired, I'm going to go to sleep. But you lay there and you uphold your children before the Lord. What causes you to do that? What causes you to have that desire, that desire that you can't shake off, that you want to see your kids in the kingdom? Any one of you here today who doesn't have a child that you believe is in the kingdom, I'll guarantee you that you are laying awake at night, that you will have times where you will go down and lay on their beds, that you will cry. You will cry for your children.
Come on.
Well, what causes us to do that? And so, you know, the more I asked myself that question, I really pushed that on myself this week. Jack, what causes you to wake up? What causes you to get out of bed at 3 a.m. and walk around that property and cry out for your children? And it come down to one thing, my love for them.
Come on.
Sammy's doing really well. I haven't had to cry for Sammy for a while. But you know, what causes us to do it? It's love, isn't it?
Come on.
Isn't it love that makes us go out? So love's the answer, right? Amen?
Amen.
See, love's the answer. Love doesn't leave us any choice. But when we love our kids, but you know, God didn't say go out and be witnesses to just our children. So, you know, what's going to cause us to go beyond our children and to love others like we love our children? What's going to cause us to wake up in the middle of the night and lay when God puts somebody on our heart and says, you know, pray for that person. And then this morning, I want you to get up and I want you to drive to that person's house. And I want you to go to your bank account. And I want you to draw some money out. And I want you to help that person financially. Or I want you to repair that person's car. Or I want you to pay that person's grocery bill. See, we will do this for our children. There's almost no boundary that we, you know, a parent will go into a blazing fire for their children. We hear about it all the time, don't we? You know, a parent will, most of you would stand here today. In fact, I would say all of you would stand here today and say, I would take a bullet for my children. Well, hopefully you won't have to. And maybe when the opportunity comes, you'll think, oh, nah, flag it, she's been a naughty kid or a bad kid, who knows? You know, I used to say to Sari, I'll take a bullet for you, honey. And she'd say, I have to confess, I couldn't take one for you. I'll take one for the kids. She's being honest. I think that she actually would. I've treated her so well.
You would get too much life.
I've got no life policy. She would, you know, she needs to keep me alive. You see, would we take a bullet for our children? Would we die for our kids?
Yes.
Why would we do that? Because we love them.
Come on.
It's like an unconditional love that is built into us. See, Jesus did. Jesus did, didn't he? He went to the cross for us, for each one of us. He knew about it. He knew what a crucifixion looked like. He knew the pain that was required. He knew that there was probably no death that was more painful. And yet he said, you know, not my will, but your will, God. I'll do it because of my love for these people. See, love is such a powerful thing. It'll change the world. It has changed the world. Jesus' love for us has changed the world. It's given you and I an opportunity to sit here today, redeemed, set free. Sin has no hold over us. Satan has no hold over us.
Come on.
We have authority. We have authority over the power of the enemy. We have authority over fear. All the things that so many of the world struggle with. We today sit here redeemed, set free, able to have authority over all that because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because love gives us no choice. Amen.
Come on.
So love gave Jesus no choice but to go to the cross on our behalf. It's awesome, isn't it? You know, Jesus says this, there was a parable, and Jesus, it was the parable of the lost sheep. And the leaders, they try to give Jesus a hard time about why is he spending time with all like what we would call the unlovelies of the world. So Jesus sort of says it like this. He says, you know, if a man had 100 sheep, but one of them was missing, wouldn't he leave the 99 and go after the one? And see, when I read that, I think, well, that doesn't make sense. But I know that Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus is a good shepherd. Amen. He's not a shepherd that would just leave his flock up and or would ask you and I or ask any other shepherd to leave his flock open to the wolves. I'm sure that they were in a stronghold or he left somebody in charge or they were in a place where they were secure. But his love for the one. His love for the one. See, Jesus came to offer salvation to sinners, amen? And he wasn't worried about being defiled. See, this is why the Pharisees gave him such a hard time, because Jesus hung around with all the lowlifes and all the people that would seem to be unsavable or unloved. Jesus hung with them. He wasn't worried about being defiled. He wasn't worried. When Jesus prayed for lepers, he laid his hands on them. Because you see, there was no boundary that Jesus wouldn't cross to touch a life or to reach a soul. There was no boundary. And so when Jesus went and prayed for people, he laid hands on them. He broke all the rules. Amen? because he was interested in one thing, leading people, sharing the gospel with them and leading people to Christ, showing them the love of God so that they could be redeemed like you and I are. See, one of the main reasons for all of us, one of the reasons why we find it so hard to cross these boundaries is we have a fear in us that maybe, either two things, either we don't care, either we just don't care. And I heard somebody say the other day, when there's an opportunity for you to reach somebody or to speak to somebody and you don't, and you put up all the excuses, what you're really saying is, I don't love you enough, or you're not a priority in my life. Now, when I think about that, see, I don't care whether my kids love me or not. See, fear doesn't have any, fear doesn't stop me from sitting my kids down. And even though I know they're going to say, oh, Far Dad, you know, it's all about, you know, I know that, you know, you do this because you're a Christian or you're the pastor of the church and you have to do this. No. I do it because I love them. And fear has no hold on me when it comes to that. Why is it? You guys know that, isn't it? When you want to go and talk to your children, you're not fearful that they won't like you, because you see, love gives us no opportunity, other choice, but to sit our kids down and share with them.
Come on.
And so, you know, it's the key, amen, to seeing our children and our neighborhood reached, our community reached, our world reached, is that we would do away with fear. And that we would cross these boundaries. See, I remember one time Sari came home and she said, you know, Kimberly was only two. And when Sari was telling her off one day, Kimberly got that little snarl on her, and you know, her nose started to twitch, and she's looked at Sari and she said, I don't love you anymore.
She said, I hate you.
I hate you. And Sari said, I don't care if you hate me, I love you. Give her the wee smack that she was so dearly deserved. And see, we'll do that with our children, but one of the things that stops us from reaching out to, say, our workmates is we're scared that they'll reject the word that we're bringing. So fear, actually, we have to deal with that fear. We have to go away. The Bible says there is no fear in perfect love. Or love has no fear. We have to learn to love people enough, people enough, that fear doesn't have a hold on us, that fear doesn't stop us from reaching beyond those boundaries. Amen. See, what caused Jesus to go into Samaria for the woman at the well? You know, this is a Samaritan woman. You know, Jesus had an appointment, I believe. Already he had an appointment with this woman. And this Samaritan woman, we know that the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. They were a despised people for the Jews. And so when they had to go to the other side of Samaria, instead of going through it, they went around it. See, this is what I love about when Jesus says, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. He's saying, there's no excuse that you could use that you wouldn't go into the despised area or go to the despised people, because they need to hear the gospel. Amen. So Jesus was on it. He had an appointment with this woman. And so he meets at Jacob's well. And this is a despised woman by Jews, but also worse than that, she was despised by her own people. And see, we know that because when the woman went to the well to gather water, it was like the highlight of their day. Huh. Or, you know, amazing. All you had to do was give a woman a barrel, put it on her head, and she'd go out and have fun. Was the highlight of her today. Today we have to give them a G-bang so they can go off into town and buy something. You know, woman, you guys, you gotta come back to earth. You know, make it easier for us guys. You know, I'll buy you fellas a bucket all day long if you want to go. This should be the highlight of your week when you go gather your water. But you see, Jesus, he knew that this woman was going to be there. Amen. He knew that she was going to be there. So Jesus goes out of his way to make an appointment with a woman that had no idea that Jesus was going to be there. He went out of his way because of what? Purely because of his love for this woman, for this despised woman that would be that others would probably not want to reach. And so I think that what Jesus did was he set an example for you and I as well. He set the example that, you know, that much of the time, we're going to have to go out of our way to reach people. See, it's not acceptable for us to expect that she would come to Jesus or that they would come to us. See, the example that Jesus has set right there is that you have to go out of your way.
Come on.
Because we're the one that has the answer, do we not? Do we have the gospel? We have the answer to the world, really. We do. We hold it right here in our hands. We read it every day. It comes out of our mouths as we share. As we walk, I was talking to an older gentleman today, and he says, it's great that you have older people in the church. As soon as he said that, I thought, you know why that's so great? Because elderly people that are in the church, we look at their lives and we see that they have walked many, many years. They are a testament to living with Jesus, to having Jesus in their lives. I look at Doug, and I think, what a tremendous man. As you know, 91 years old, and still got the heart of a young buck, still got the heart of a teenager, wants to live to 120 years old because he reckons it's going to take at least that long to get a Somerset saved. You know, isn't that amazing? I think you could do it shorter than that, Doug. I don't think it'll take 120 years, mate. So what I love about this connection is that when Jesus reached this woman, that it wasn't just this woman that Jesus reached. See, what's so exciting about this is you don't know what happens when that person leaves you.
Come on.
We just don't. You know what? Our job is we just share to the one person and let the Holy Spirit, you know, lead that person wherever he would go. See, what happened was that woman left Jesus after Jesus' encounter. Jesus didn't try to hide the truth of the way she lived or anything like that. He told her the truth. He offered, water, living water that would cause her not to ever thirst again. And he explained to her what that meant. Then she goes away. She didn't just go away and hide like she probably did most days. She actually went and faced the people. She said, I've met a man who has told me everything that I know, everything about my life. He told me everything about my life. See, that's the witness that I was talking about the other day. After Jesus, she had an encounter with Jesus. She didn't go and add to the story. She just went and said, he told me everything about my life. And let me show you what it says. See, through that one connection, Jesus didn't reach just her, but he reached many others. And he didn't even know that he had done it. It says here in John 4:39, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Isn't that awesome? And Jesus was just reaching one person, and many people from the town came out, which caused a crowd to come. Then they come back to her and they say, it was great that we believed after you told us, but now we believe because of what he has told us. Ooh. The opportunities that come our way. I've had many opportunities to witness to people, to go the extra mile. But I've declined at times because it didn't fit in with my schedule. Maybe I didn't want to sort of associate with that person. I don't know. And I can't even remember all the times, but I can remember there has been many times when I've had opportunity and I've declined and I've missed it. And just like I was saying before, when I've done that, really in my heart, what I'm saying is you're not a priority to me. You're not a priority to me. And maybe I don't love you quite as much as I should do. I don't love you like I wouldn't miss this opportunity if it was one of my children. And so, you know, I had to repent from that. I had to go in and ask the God to forgive me for this. And I hope that right now, at this moment I'm talking about, that my son, Luke, would be a priority in somebody's life today. That somebody would go that extra mile right at this moment. And, you know, it's I spend a lot of time crying over my son, and because he's not where I want him to be. I trust God so much in my heart that he will put the right people around him, that he will, that Luke will pick up his guitar again and he'll remember, you know, the way it was when he used to worship. You know, I think about that, and I just hope today that somebody loves him enough, that somebody would go the extra mile, and that they would see Luke and see that he would be a priority, and that they would go in and spend some time, because that could be the very thing that draws him back. Amen? And so, you know, I've had to ask the Lord as I've walked around that property, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, because I know that there are people out there that are probably being prayed for by their family. And I could have been that person. I could have been that person that went the extra mile, but I didn't. See, we would go that. We would go that extra length, wouldn't we, for our family? But would we go it for a nobody? Would we go to it? Would we go to that extra mile for somebody that we don't know? You know, I really pray that we would. I really pray that we would. You know, I really pray that we would not rank people and think that they're worth more or they're worth less because of the area that they live in. You know, I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. You know why? That's what that's why I go into Lipscomb on a Sunday afternoon. You know, I love being with those kids. I've asked God years ago to give me a heart for the unlovely kids. Maybe I should have a heart for the unlovely adults, but you know, I prayed, God, give me a heart for kids that are at risk. That, you know, maybe we could change their lives when they're children. Why do we have to wait until they're in prison and do prison ministries? I love the fact that somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to go into the prisons and reach those people. Absolutely. But can't we reach them when they're at this age? And I've asked God to give me a heart for it, and he has. You know, I believe that's what the Holy Spirit does. See, otherwise, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't go out of your way if it wasn't for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Isn't it amazing that that's what we need? We need that. See, and so just so that we can level this all off, Jesus says in Matthew 22:37-40, he says, the Pharisees, they come to Jesus and they're giving him a hard time. And they're trying to catch him out. Which of the laws of Moses is the most important one? See, I believe in God, it's all about balance. I don't think that any one, and I believe that the scripture is going to say that, not any one. They're all important. They're all important and they should hold this much value. Jesus replied to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He says, this is the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I've just chucked in there, love your neighbor as if it was one of your children. Love your neighbor as if it was one of your own children, or if it was your nephew or your niece. Or a grandparent, or even a really close friend. Love these people just like that. Amen? So Jesus was quoting two scriptures there from the Old Testament. He was quoting and from Deuteronomy, where he was saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then I'm going to quickly go to something here in Leviticus 19. This is how Jesus says that we're supposed to be. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges. When you go into your vineyards, don't double pick your grapes. Leave something there for your neighbor. Amen? And what Jesus is saying, we should love our neighbors enough that we would provide for them, that we would care for them, that we would love them, that we would look after them, that we wouldn't steal from them, that we would pay them decent wages, that we wouldn't do what the rest of the world would do and try to rob and try to get the best thing that we can get. But always we should go, what, the extra mile to show the love of Christ. Amen? And I believe that it's as simple as that. That, you know, that we can ask God for a heart for the lost, for a heart for people that are not a part of our immediate family, that we would see our neighbor as close as we see our immediate family. Amen? In Jesus' name. And I am so thankful that somebody went out of their way and went the extra mile to share the gospel with me. Because if I look back at where my life was back then, and I wasn't saved today, I hadn't met Christ, I would hate to think where my life would be. And probably most of you are thinking exactly the same. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word, for your incredible goodness, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you came into my life, Lord, and you've changed me. Father God, you've changed me. You've made me a better person. And Father, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm sure not where I used to be. And so, Father God, I pray that you would continue to work on me, work on these people. Father, I pray that as we go home today, we would consider, Lord God, how can we love? How can we reach? How can we touch? How can we bring redemption, forgiveness of sin, a relationship with Jesus to our neighbors? Father God, that you would equip us to do it, Lord. In your precious name, amen.
Awesome.